Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Letitia Long, Director of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. Tish, you mentioned earlier that NGA is a Department of Defense combat support agency, and when we discussed the mobile apps, you also identified NGA as having a role in supporting disaster relief and homeland defense operations. I'd like to delve a little bit more into the latter part. Could you tell us more about NGA's role in disaster relief and homeland defense operations, and how has it evolved over the last decade?
Absolutely, Michael. First of all, I have to lead off with the caveat that we must be asked by a lead federal agency to respond to a natural disaster or any homeland security event here in the United States. We are mostly about the foreign threat, but the foreign threat can come to U.S. shores, so homeland defense, and then, of course, the disaster recovery operations. And so what we would do in a typical operation, we are monitoring world events to include weather all around the world. So we're monitoring weather here at home also. And if we would see an event about to happen, whether it be a hurricane, an earthquake, a tornado, wildfires, oil spill, we are at the ready with the latest commercial imagery to produce product and provide information, whether it is FEMA, the Department of Homeland Security, United States Coast Guard, whoever has the lead for a particular event, we would be working side by side with them. Again, they would ask for our support, and asking is a very easy thing to do. We have teams embedded really in all of those organizations, so we're talking with them on a daily basis, and they simply need to ask, and we are there to provide. We're providing map graphics, we're providing imagery, and increasingly, we're providing analysis. So for instance, as we are looking, you know, with the United States Weather Service on the track of a tornado, you'd want to know if there were mobile home communities in the track of that tornado, because that may sustain damage. And so we would focus, you know, in that particular area. When we had flooding with Hurricane Irene, we were, and this is a new one for me, we were analyzing swine lagoons, bodies of water near swine where waste runoff can be. And if that floods and gets into the water supply, we'd want to know that. So we were actually doing that analysis, working with some local universities in North Carolina. So, you know, again, those who were responsible were ready in case water supply became contaminated. So it is about the imagery. It is about the physical and man-made features. But it's also, again, about human geography and different data sets and how we can overlay those to create a full picture.
And that full picture, it's all this information, but it has to be shared. It has to be shared across the community, the spectrum. And so I'm interested in understanding how you're helping or what your role is in creating and forging a collaborative information technology environment across the intel community. What are some of the benefits of doing this and the challenges associated with it?
So if you remember back to the framework that we created to measure how we're doing in achieving our vision, one of those four is an open IT environment. It doesn't work if only NGA has an open IT environment. The whole community, because we are interconnected as we should be, needs to have that environment. Again, properly secured with the proper security layers, but the ability to easily exchange information, the ability to mash up. I talked about it's not only the GEOINT, but us being able to help others visualize the other types of intelligence information. So mash that up together from a multi-INT perspective so that you can get the full picture. So we really are working together as a community. The Director of National Intelligence has made integrated intelligence his main focus. And a part of that is the Intelligence Community Information Technology Initiative. So working as a community, we want to collapse our infrastructures to one so that we're not all building a common transport layer. We're all going to build our unique applications for our unique tradecraft. But some of our applications are the same. We all need to manage money. We all need to manage our people. So if we can have one or even only two or three instead of 16, that's a huge savings. That's efficiencies from a resource perspective. It's efficiencies from an operational perspective also.
That's important. I also want to turn to procurement. Procuring essential mission support products and services is critical to NGA in order to meet its mission. To that end, how have you sought to redesign and make the acquisition process within NGA more agile? What needs to be done in this area?
As we embarked upon the implementation of our vision, we established a number of initiatives. Some of those were regionally focused on areas of the world. One was on leadership and developing our leaders. And one was on agile acquisition. We recognized if we were going to be introducing new capability in a rapid way so that our analysts could take advantage of those applications and all of the information that we collect, we needed an agile way in which to do that. I talked earlier about the applications that we're developing. I can't envision all of the applications that we might come up with. I won't even say need, that we might be able to develop. I don't know how I contract for an application that I can't even think of today. And so we have been working with our overseers to really try and develop a flexible and responsive way to contract and procure for goods and services. And a good example of that are a couple of one contract that we've recently let and one that we are in the process of working through. The one that we recently awarded, we actually awarded to about a half a dozen teams. And so they all qualified for various portions of the contract, and now we can go to them as we're ready to actually procure a particular good or a particular service. They've already qualified. We don't have to go through the full procurement activity. So that's one way of decreasing the time that it takes. Another contract that we're in the middle of actually awarding, and we've just started on this, so we've just gone through the request for procurement, is also a very unique teaming way so that we would have what we call a prime of primes contractor who can then bring in different team members depending on what we're looking for. And we have set this up in alignment, as you would guess, with our vision. So an area for content services, an area for application services, an area for user services. And so the prime can team with different companies depending on what they want to bid on. So we're trying to be creative up front so that time to get on contract is greatly reduced, because it is all about time to market. It's about how quickly can we get a new capability in the hands of our users or in the hands of our customers.
Well, it's interesting. You've mentioned throughout our conversation the use of commercial satellite imagery as a key enabler for you folks at NGA. Would you elaborate on the ways you're using commercial imagery to meet mission, and to what extent is the commercial imagery integrated to the top secret domain?
We use commercial imagery in a number of ways. I've talked already to the first responder, so the humanitarian assistance disaster recovery. It's unclassified, so we can readily share it at the federal, state, and local level. The Gulf oil spill is a great example. We were providing product every single day, not only to Department of Homeland Security and the Coast Guard, who needed to have that situational awareness, but we were providing it to local chambers of commerce. So they could, with surety, convince the public, there's no oil coming to our beaches. We're still open for vacation. So very wide range of application there. It's also extremely important in the coalition environment. So take Afghanistan today. ISAF, the International Security Assistance Force, is made up of over 30 countries. Many of those we don't have classified sharing arrangements with. Commercial imagery is unclassified. We can readily share that. Likewise, if one of our policymakers wants to make a point in a situation where they're having, you know, a meeting with one of their counterparts or at the UN, Ambassador Rice has recently used some commercial imagery to make the point of what is going on in Syria. So we use it across our mission set. It's extremely important because of the unclassified nature of that imagery.
Tish, geospatial technology is playing a vital role as the U.S. military works to develop greater understanding of the social, cultural, and behavioral aspects of the populations in which we operate. Moreover, geospatial information is important because culture is very tied to geography. To that end, would you elaborate on NGA's efforts in advancing the use of so-called human geography, or more particularly, mapping the human factor?
First of all, let me explain human geography so our listeners understand. Human geography is an analytic approach used in describing spatial and temporal patterns of human behavior in the context of their environment. And so we want to incorporate human geography into our geospatial intelligence analysis. Not only do we want to, we are doing that today. Fully considering the human element is critical to understanding why people do what they do, where they do it, and how that can influence the environment. Another part of, you know, human geography, just take some countries in Africa that are lacking in water. Water is a key natural resource. So to understand the natural rainfall, to understand where wells are or where they should be dug, to understand where the vegetation is, where the farming is, I mean, that is a way to actually render assistance if an organization would so choose to do. So again, understanding how people interact with the environment is another layer of information that we add to our geospatial intelligence.
I want to turn the conversation inside a little bit and talk about your recent efforts to consolidate East Coast operations with the new opening of the NGA headquarters of Fort Belvoir in Virginia. What are the organizational, operational, and technical benefits of this move? And could you tell us a little bit about the gold certification that you received for the building?
First of all, we are extremely fortunate to have a new facility at Fort Belvoir North. This was part of BRAC, Base Realignment and Closure, 2005. So the first time we have been able to consolidate our East Coast operations into one facility. We have a little over 9,000 folks there coming from seven different locations in the National Capital Region. If you live and work in and around Washington, D.C., you know what traffic is like. Some of our folks' days were spent traveling from Site A to Site B, with maybe getting some work done in between. Being able to have everyone co-located into this facility brings just extreme benefit. First of all, it cuts down on time spent traveling, you know, from meeting site to meeting site. But more importantly, it gives us the opportunity to have impromptu meetings. When someone cancels out of a class at the college, there's someone else readily available to fill in. Otherwise, that was a 30-minute drive from any of the other locations. Being able to have our developers in the same place as our analysts, in the same place as our collection managers, huge. I mean, the meetings that just happen as folks pass each other in the hallway, but it's also just much easier to schedule a meeting and know that at most you're going to go eight flights, you know, from one side of the office building to the other. It was built with collaboration in mind. So the analyst workspaces are open. All of the workspaces are open to encourage that collaboration. There are lots of meeting spaces. And as I walk about, which I love to do, I see folks, you know, meeting all over the place. And, you know, there are whiteboards. So they're just, you know, brainstorming and coming up with, you know, solutions to problems. You know, we have folks who haven't seen each other for years, you know, who now have the benefit of being in the same building. They would email, they would video teleconference, but being able to have all the brain power in one place to really work on our hard problems is already paying benefits. You asked about our Gold LEED certification, LEED being Leadership in Engineering and Design. There are three levels. We were actually going for the lowest level. Gold is the middle level. I think it's silver, gold, platinum. Not sure. But the gold means that from the design through construction through operation have been thinking about the environment. The design, we use chilled water through the beams to cool the facility. We use all of the proper lighting fixtures to ensure that we get the most lighting for the least amount of energy. The design was situated so that we could take advantage of the sun. All of our building materials were thought about with the environment in mind, from things as simple as local manufacturers, so we weren't trucking from, you know, all the way or even halfway across the country. We used a lot of local manufacturing. So many things went into the design. And then the continuing operation, I mean, we have a pool where we catch rainwater, which we can use to irrigate the grounds. We can also use for backup water to keep our computer center going if we lose the county water supply. Lights turn off when you leave a room. After a certain period of inactivity, the lights will go off. Everything about the design, we really thought about the environment.
What does the future hold for NGA? We will ask its director, Letitia Long, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.